Hey, anybody here like to wait? Waiting is tough, isn't it? And so today I'm going to be talking to us about waiting on God. But I thought before that, how long have people waited for stuff? The longest wait at Disney, 8 hours. Like, who's going to stand in line for 8 hours? But it was just this past New Year's Eve. They said it's the most crowded day in the park. Longest phone wait for customer service, 15 hours, 40 minutes. I would have checked that after 15 minutes. That flight must have been important. Longest wait to be seen in an ER, 4 days. Go to urgent care. 4 days. 4 days. But you know what? None of that compares to 52 years I had to wait for an Eagles Super Bowl. Right? And no celebration could be complete without seeing pretty boy Brady dropping that pass, right? And the fumble. So that was a long wait, 52 years. So you know what? It's hard to wait. And when you talk to people who study this stuff, they say that we will spend about, the typical person, about 5 years of our waking hours. This isn't even sleeping. We will spend about 5 years of our waking hours in our life waiting. Waiting in line, waiting for others, waiting for customer service, waiting at a doctor's office. Waiting's hard. Waiting in traffic. But you know what's really challenging? Waiting on God. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you specifically about waiting on God. And we're going to kick off a new series that, God willing, is going to take us to Easter. And the series is called It's All About Jesus. And today's talk is really about waiting for Jesus. And what I want to challenge all of us as we get started in this is this. Whatever it is in your life that you're waiting on God to do or to show up in, I want that to be front and center in your mind, please. Because we're going to ask some tough questions today. And I want you to really be thinking about that in your life. And let's see what God does with all of this. Hey, what I did here in this picture is I just took a Bible. I laid it open. And I'm separating the Old Testament and New Testament. And so when you look at the Bible, you realize that about 2/3 of a printed Bible is the Old Testament. The Old Testament is looking forward to Jesus. The New Testament is the story of Jesus' birth, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and then, you know, what happens after his death. But you see that 2/3 roughly of a printed Bible is the Old Testament. They're waiting. They're looking ahead for Jesus. They're waiting on him. And so here's what I want to do. The first time Jesus is promised in the Old Testament is in the book of Genesis. It's very early in the book of Genesis. It's soon after the serpent shows up, Satan, in the garden and tempts Eve. And they, you know, Eve eats, Adam eats, sin is brought into the world. And right after all of that, God's having this discussion with them in the garden. And God utters these words, and he's speaking to the serpent, Satan. And he says, "You will strike his heel, but he will crush your head." What the heck does that mean? All I can tell you is if we were standing in the garden at that moment, and we knew nothing of Jesus, and we knew nothing of the nativity, and we knew nothing of the cross, we would have no clue what God just said. And can I tell you something? So often in our lives when we're waiting on God, it's exactly the same thing. We don't have all the information, so we don't see the reality that God's already at work. But here he is, and he says, Satan will strike Jesus' heel. So think of yourself walking through your garden, and a snake bites you on your heel. Woo, that's going to hurt, right? But it's going to hurt a lot less than Jesus crushing Satan's head. That's fatal. That's the first promise of Jesus. And Genesis was written 1,400 years before Jesus was born. So I want you to think about this. Whatever it is you're waiting for, the first time Jesus is promised in the Old Testament, it's going to take 1,400 years till Jesus is born. So what does that teach us about God? Just that one thing. God plays a long game. God plays the long game. God's not in a hurry. Never has been, never will be. Second Peter says, you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. God can do one day in your life what it would take us 1,000 years to do. God's not in a hurry. Yeah, but Rob, I've been waiting all these years. 1,000 years is like a day to God. God's not bound by time. See, we want God on our schedule. Hey, God, I got an opening Monday afternoon at 2:15. I need you to come through then. God's like, Rob, I don't work that way. But that's the world we live in. God seldom gives explicit details about his plans. When he says to the serpent, you're going to strike his heel, he's going to crush your head. Adam and Eve didn't know what that meant. Some of you right now, God's giving you details about your struggle. God's giving you details about what you're waiting for, Myers family. He's giving you details. But we don't understand it because we're not at the end of the picture yet. We're going to look back one day and say, oh, I get it. That's what God was up to. But Adam and Eve didn't understand. They didn't know of a baby. They didn't know of a nativity. They didn't see the star. And it's the same way with us, people. We're waiting on God, and God is not giving us details because he's not concerned about us having all the details. He just isn't. I wish he was. Wish he would have told me I'd have to wait 52 years for a Super Bowl win. But he's not concerned about those details, people. So we're still waiting on Jesus. So in Genesis, 1,400 years before Jesus, we're given the first promise, the first prophecy. 700 years later. Now listen, we're going to get in the weeds a little bit, but I need you to track with me. Because once we land this, it's all going to make sense. 700 years after Genesis, a prophet, Isaiah, says a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A verse you typically hear at Christmas. It's talking about Jesus. And here's what I want you to think. For 700 years, Israel's been waiting for a deliverer. They're waiting for a warrior. They think a warrior is going to come and conquer all of the foes that they have, all of the enemy. And if the conqueror is going to set them up as this great, powerful superpower, and no one's going to mess with them. That's what they're waiting for. And Isaiah's like, not exactly. A baby's going to be born. A what? A baby's coming. The stuff that you're waiting on God for, the stuff that you think you know how he's going to answer, the stuff that we think if God is good, he's got to do it this way. Guess what? God's got a surprise in store for us. God seldom works the way we want him to work. He seldom does. So he says a baby's going to be born. They knew nothing of Jesus. They knew nothing of a baby in a manger. They knew nothing of that. See, God plays the long game, just like we looked at. And there's this verse in the Bible that's repeated 3 times in the New Testament. Some translations say, the just shall live by faith. The one I'm using says, those who are right with God will live by faith. The first time that verse is recorded in the Bible, it's in the Old Testament. It's recorded 3 times after that in the New Testament. What is God teaching us here? In the Old Testament, they didn't have the details. In the Old Testament, everything was blurry. Everything was fuzzy. In the Old Testament, they did not have the plan of God. And God was saying through the prophet Habakkuk, hey, listen, you want to follow me? You need faith. Faith to believe that God is good. Faith to believe God is in control. Faith to believe that even when you can't see it or you can't feel it, God's working and doing something good for you. That's what faith is. And what God is saying hundreds of years before Jesus is born through Habakkuk in the Old Testament is you want to follow Jesus? You need faith. Because let's be honest, following Jesus is easy when it's good. Following Jesus is easy when I got all the details. But when it gets complicated, it gets a little bit trickier. When I don't have all the details, it gets a little bit trickier. We need faith. See, the same stuff we looked at before. God seldom gives us explicit details. Do you realize most of God's work is done in secret? Do you realize that? We want to see God's work. God, I want you to show me how you're changing my spouse. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, I got some people agreeing with me there, right? And God's like, Rob, you're not going to see it. I work in secret. I do what isn't obvious. And more often than not, we find out what God's been up to when we finally see the result. And then realize this. Us having all the details is not important to God. You know what is important to God? Us having faith. Yeah, but I need details. No, you don't. We need faith. Because if I have the details, I don't need faith. When I don't have the details, I need faith. And Habakkuk said in the Old Testament, you want to follow God? You need faith. So God says, Bethel, choose faith. You don't need details. Choose faith. See, we think we know God's plans. We don't. We think we understand God's mind. We don't. We think we have God figured out. We don't. God said in the Old Testament, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. We have to let God be God. He isn't like us. He doesn't think like us. He doesn't act like us. See, Israel was expecting this conquering Messiah, victorious warrior guy. And they got a baby instead. What are you expecting from God? Honestly, what are you expecting? Right now, what are you disappointed with God about? Because you've been expecting something and it hasn't come through the way you expected it. Maybe what God's up to is something totally different. And what we need is eyes of faith to realize that God is good and he's faithful, but he's working in a way that's very different than what I was expecting. So now we're still waiting. See all the L's I added? Still waiting for Jesus. So Genesis was written 1,400 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. And you know what? It's hard when we have few details. Isn't it harder when we have nothing? Do you ever go through a time in your life where you would have sworn God was absent? Silent. God, I need you to show up. And nothing, nothing, nothing. Silence. God, I need a sign. Nothing. God, if you love me, I need you to show up and do something. Nothing. Silence. What do you do with silence? Malachi is the last book in our Old Testament. And it's the last book written in the Old Testament. Now, again, we're getting into weeds a little bit. Follow me, though. The book of Malachi was written about 440 years before Jesus was born. And then we have this time between Malachi being written and Jesus being born, known as the 400 silent years. It's a time in history when God went silent. Silent. God would use prophets to communicate with the Old Testament. No prophets during the 400 years. God would use judges, what were called judges. Men and women were judges. No judges during the 400 years. God would send angels as messengers to communicate with people. No angels during those 400 years. Nothing. Silence. 400 years of silence. If you think about how long 400 years is, it would take us back to the time of Pocahontas. We'd be right around the time when the King James translation was first released. 400 years is a long time. And God was silent. What can we learn about God in that silence? Listen, there is a huge difference between silence and finished. Do you hear me? There's a huge difference between silence and finished. Silence doesn't mean God is finished. Silence doesn't mean God is absent. Silence doesn't mean God is angry. Silence doesn't mean God is distant. Silence means God is silent. In faith, we have to believe that in the silence, God is up to something good. That's why we need faith. If you've ever watched kids, if you had two or three kids at your house, younger kids, and they're playing, and all of a sudden, the house gets quiet. See, you know. You know. You better get up and check on those kids, right? They're up to something. See, we've taught ourselves, woo, silence with little kids isn't good. You know what we have to teach ourselves in faith? Silence with God is good. He's working. He's up to something. See, even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when I can't feel it, he's working. How do I know that? The Bible says God works all things together for good. I have to, in faith, believe God is good. He's in control. He's still working. I wish he was talking to me. I wish he was communicating. I wish I had a sense of what he was up to. But even when I don't, he's still working for good. We have to teach ourselves, Bethel, that when God is silent, God's working for our good. That's what it means. And can I prove it to you? 400 silent years between the last book in the Old Testament and Jesus being born. The first time the silence is broken after 400 years is when the angel shows up and speaks to John the Baptist's parents and says, hey, your baby's going to be a foreteller, a forerunner to Jesus. Silence is broken after 400 years. Watch how the New Testament looks back at that. But when the right time finally came, God sent his own son. He came as the son of a human mother and lived under the Jewish law to redeem those who were under the law so we might become God's children. I used the Greek New Testament here for this because a lot of translations, when you read Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, it uses a term when the fullness of time had come. So maybe your Bible says, when the fullness of time had come. What the heck does that even mean? Fullness of time. You know why a lot of translations use that phrase? They don't. How do we break the Greek down in a way that people get? It's a complicated idea that the Greek is communicating. And here's the idea. Fullness of time, if you had a bucket and you're filling it with water, do you ever watch how you can get to the very top of the bucket and it actually starts to get higher than the lid, it's the end itself, and you know it's about to leak? Right before it leaks, that's the fullness of time. Have you ever seen a woman carrying a baby that's 9 months pregnant and she's very pregnant? Guys, you do realize even when you see a very pregnant 9-month-old or woman pregnant 9 months, it's still not okay to ask, so are you pregnant? Right, we're on the same page, guys. We don't ask women that. But have you seen a woman who you know, wow, that's got to be uncomfortable, right? It's the fullness of time. That baby is about to come. That's the idea the Greek is communicating. That at just the right time, at just the specific time, God was watching. God was silent for 400 years, but he was watching, he was planning, he was putting details together. Listen, I won't bore you with the details. What was going on, though, in those 400 years? Rome was starting to become the power in the world. Rome was bringing peace to so many different countries in the world, building their empire. Rome was building roads throughout their empire. And why was that important? Because when Jesus ascended, what did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so you have this idea that God is waiting for the perfect time in human history to introduce Jesus into the world. Silence does not mean he's absent. Silence does not mean he's working. Silence just means he's up to something good and we haven't seen it yet. And that's what the Apostle Paul is describing to us here. So for all of us, let me just wrap with this. as we're waiting for our time, our right time, how do we wait? Remember, Bethel, you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. 1,000 years is like a day. Don't forget that. God's not bound by our time. God can do in a day what it'll take us 1,000 years to do. And if we think 1,000 years has gone by and it's long, to God, that's one day. Remember, but when the right time finally came, silence does not mean God's not with you. Silence does not mean he's not working. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's in you. The Bible says he confirms with your spirit that you're a child of God. In faith, you have to believe God is with me, even if I don't feel it. Even if I don't see what's going on. Even if I think everything is going wrong and I'm begging God to show up, God's with me because in faith, I know Jesus said, I'll never leave you. And I know that the Holy Spirit is with me. So in faith, I choose to believe that is true. That's faith. Remember, Bethel, those who are right with God will live by faith. Remember the last series we just got done? It's persistence, not instant results. How do you grow into spiritual maturity as a follower of Jesus Christ? It's not instantaneous. It's persistence. It's persistence during the hard times. Persistence in trouble. Persistence when you're up against it. Persistence when God is silent. That's when you go into faith mode. And you say, I don't see it. I don't feel it. But God, I believe. In faith, I choose to believe that you're working for good for me. I am not going to believe what my senses tell me. In faith, I believe that my God is good and my God is in control. And it's in the silence that we're most desperate to hear from God. We're most desperate to confirm he's with us. So it's in the silence we have to choose faith, Bethel. We have to. It's the persistence. It's staying yoked with Jesus when things are really bleak. It's staying yoked with Jesus when life doesn't make sense. That's faith. I'm going to close with two verses. Psalm 27, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. In order to wait for the Lord, we need to be brave and we need to be courageous. In order to have faith that God is good, I need to be brave and I need to have courage. Why? Because my five senses are going to tell me I'm a fool. I'm going to have friends and family saying, Rob, what are you doing? But in faith, you believe God's up to something good. Isaiah 40, they who wait upon the Lord will get new strength. They will rise up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weak. They who wait upon the Lord get new strength. They that wait upon the Lord rise up with wings like eagles. They who wait upon the Lord will run and not get tired. They who wait upon the Lord will walk and not become weak. See, faith is active. Waiting on the Lord is not a passive thing. It's very active because it includes faith. It's all about faith, right? Waiting on the Lord is not passive. It requires active faith. What are you waiting on the Lord for? Choose faith. God's got you. God's good. God's up to something good in your life. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. He's got you. He's in control. Trust him. Stay yoked to Jesus. Keep walking with Jesus. He's got you. My beautiful daughter-in-law, who was not my daughter-in-law at the time, snapped this picture the night the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And it's a picture of my wife, my two kids and me hugging. And she just snapped the picture. And this picture hangs, or we have a copy of it in our family room. I pull it out, like when we lose the Super Bowl, I pull it out and say, "Ooh, remember that?" Right? "Woo, that was a nice time." We're all going to go through struggles. I'm being honest with you. When we lost the Super Bowl, I looked at that picture in the family room and I said, "Oh, but that was worth it. That was worth it. That was worth it." Remember we won with a backup quarterback? Remember that? Remember we beat Belichick and Brady? They were unbeatable, remember? And we beat them with a backup quarterback. And I look back at that and I say, man, it was so worth it. I would have never written a script that way. But man, it's sweet. And I look at that picture all the time and I remember the wait was worth it. Your wait is worth it. God's got you. He's doing something good. And one day you're going to look back and you're going to say, man, God is so good. He's so faithful. Look at what he did. You just don't have all the details yet. So Myers family, God's got you. He's got Tank. Eddie, God's got you, man. He's got you. He's working. And he's asking you to choose faith. Choose faith. The just will live by faith. Those who follow Jesus have to live by faith because God is good, but it takes the eyes of faith to see it. Now, will you stand with me, please? We're going to pray. Father, thank you so much for the reminder today that we can trust you. We can be brave, we can be courageous, and we can choose faith. Give us the faith that we need to stay close to you. Give us the faith to believe that you're good. Give us the faith to believe you're up to something good in our lives. Give us the faith to believe that even when our senses are telling us something so different, you're with us. You're working for our good, and you are trustworthy. God, give us the faith we need to stay with you. And God, my prayer for all of us, you know the stuff we're waiting for, God. We trust you with it. We trust you with it. And we can't wait to see the beautiful things you're going to do. You're awesome, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.